It's good to see so many faces here today. We've got quite a few faces gone and traveling and out and about, and school's not back in yet, so people are taking advantage of that. But it's just good to be here for Independence Day, for the 4th of July. So happy 4th of July, everybody. Hey, man. Hey, so Emily brought up an announcement, or no, Emily's not here. Kim mentioned an announcement about the budget due to COVID and some changes that we had to make budget-wise. We're voting on a new budget, and so bylaws require that I give 2 weeks' notice on that. So this week, I'm letting you know, if you're a member of our church, you get to vote on that in 2 weeks. And also afterwards, members stay behind. We're going to have some food, probably some pizza or sandwiches. You know, Baptists have to vote on those types of things, so we'll figure that out. But that's what we're going to do. So next week we'll announce it again, and then we'll have it after that. So all that information's in your bulletin. Look forward to you guys being here for that. God, it's good to gather for family time. Normally, family time is fifth Sundays of every month, but because of a holiday, we thought it would be a perfect day for family worship. And following our service today, we're going to have some popsicles, some sparklers, and just have a little fun before we head out. And if you're able to tear down, Charles, go easy on the sparklers, man. I know you like to go crazy with those, so just be careful, man. We got a firefighter here, so sitting right in front of you. He's got you. So next week, guys, we're going to pick back up in our series that we titled Real. It's a series where we are walking verse by verse through 1 Thessalonians. That's what we like to do at Authentic Life, is walk verse by verse through studies in Scripture. It's been a great time in the Word for us, seeing how God used this young church in Thessalonica. We get to see them pursue Jesus, pursue one another, and pursue their city to really turn that city upside down with the gospel of Jesus. So we're going to get back to that next week. But today, for family worship, we're going to pause that series for this week and look to Psalm chapter 115 together. If you've got your Bible, Psalm chapter 115. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles for you in the back. We have purchased those for you to take with you. So if you need a Bible, please have that. Before we dive into this passage, I want to ask you a question to get you thinking about something with me. You don't need to answer out loud, but think about this. What is something you like to do when you gather with friends and family? What is something that you like to do when you have friends and family over, or you go over to their house? One of the There's a handful of top answers to that. We like to have coffee. We like to have fun. We like to talk. We like to watch, you know, sports, right? Watch a ball game. One of the top answers to that is we like to play games. Anybody in here like to play games when you gather with friends? Maybe video games, board games, card games, whatever it may be. For Jessica and I, it really depends on who we're hanging out with. Sometimes I have a friend over that I just got to beat at some kind of game. You know what I mean? So, no? Just me. Okay, all right. So, but you know, sometimes we just want to talk and laugh. Sometimes we want to grab coffee and eat. You always got to eat. But there are certain friends and family that we just like to gather and play games with. This past week, I got to play some games with my kids. My boys like to play Connect Four. Anybody into Connect Four? Right? People say the goal of this is to have fun. I say, then you're playing it wrong, right? The goal is to win. Amen, church? Right? And so, you know, Monopoly is another one that we like to play. My boys like to play that. I don't know if Isla's played with it yet or not, but, you know, she just take the things and run. But I'll tell you what, if you want to keep your family happy, and you don't have 30 hours, this Monopoly Junior is the way to go, right? Because at the end, you know, you gotta smile because you got like little penguins and stuff as your goal. Anybody ever play dominoes? You guys domino fan? Man, I'll tell you, I have to really stay connected to Jesus during that, because I get really competitive during dominoes. You know what I mean? And so one of the favorites that we like to play is a game called Quirkle. It's a thinking game that our family likes to play. But how about the game of life? Anybody remember that game? The game of life, right? And here's the thing about those games. There's always an end goal in mind, right? Some people say we're going to play to have fun, but that's not really why they're made. There's an end game or an end goal in mind. There's an objective. But these games, there's an objective to win with Connect Four. The rules say it's to get four checkers in a row, right? Before your opponent does. I was on a streak playing my boys, and I played, I don't know, 20 games in a row, and then I had to stop playing because Jack started beating me. And so we had to stop playing. With Corkle, the way to win Corkle is to get rid of all your pieces first and have the most points at the end. With dominoes, is to get rid of all your tiles and have the lowest score. But listen to these last two. With Monopoly, this is the object of the game according to the official rules. The object of the game of Monopoly is to become the wealthiest player through buying, renting, and selling property. Listen to that. The object of the game is to become the wealthiest player. And with the Game of Life, its official manual, there's this section titled How to Win, right? So you get in your little cars, you get the little pink and blue little dudes and girls in there, and they go throughout, and you make decisions to get to retirement. Everybody gets to retirement. Here's what the rules say on how to win. It says, after all players have retired, all players then count up their money, and the player with the highest dollar amount wins. So with all of these games, there's an objective, there's a way to win the game. But too often, we as people apply the same rules of these games to our own lives, right? The way we do life often turns into, how do I win? Or how do I beat out others or have more than others? It's often about being on top or having the most when the life or when our life ends. When we play Monopoly or the game of life, we play the game to win. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what games are for, right? And everything we do in these games, every move we make, every decision we make, is so at the end, we come out on top with the most. Or with this as much as you can get. We often have a goal in our culture and into our lives to accumulate more for us. More money, more homes, more stuff, more authority, more power, more attention, more recognition. And if we aren't careful, every decision that we make in life, everything we do becomes about us and how much we can get, forgetting what really matters in life. And so today, as we look at Psalm 115, we see a psalm reminding us about what and who really matters when it comes to life, to see who we should be living for. I think it would be impossible, I know it would be impossible to lay out in one sermon or even 10 sermons on all of what Scripture teaches us about how we're to live life and what our end goal is. But when we look at Psalm 115, I think we see a really good start, a great foundation laid out for us. And in this passage, church, I think we see three things that should be our aim, our objective as we wake up each day, as we go to bed each night, as we live the life as Jesus followers. You know, when we become Christians, when we become Christ followers, our lives, our agendas, our objectives change. Knowing that we belong to the Lord, that we are loved by Him, that we are saved by Him, let's look at this psalm and see three things that I believe should be true in all of our lives as Christians. So if you're able, church, so we can honor God and the Bible, would you stand and read? If you're not able, that's fine. Online as well, stand and read with us if you are able. Psalm chapter 115. Here is what God's word tells us. It says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your faithful love, because of your truth. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven and does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold made by human hand. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throats. Verse 8, those who make them are just like them, as are all who trust in them. Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord add to your numbers, both yours and your children's. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Verse 16, the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the human race. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, nor any of those descending into the silence of death, but we will bless the Lord both now and forever. Hallelujah. Let's pray, church. Father, we love you, and we are so grateful that we get to gather today. God, we've got our church family and attenders, God, that are just out and they're visiting family, they're traveling, they're getting rest that they need before school gets back in. So God, we pray, Lord, that you would protect them, that you would give them what they need during this time to sustain them through the year. God, we pray for us today as we stand here and we gather. We pray for those that are online. We pray, God, that all of us would have ears ready to hear from your word today. God, everything that comes out of my mouth, help it be glorifying and honoring to you and not me. Father, we think about today being the 4th of July, being Independence Day. God, we are so grateful that we get to gather here. We know there are people all over this world that are meeting and hiding today, risking being arrested, risking having things taken from them, risking even death, just to gather with your church and hear from your word and live for you. And so God, help us not take for granted the freedoms that you have allowed us to have here. We thank you for those that have sacrificed their time, their family, even their lives for us to have the freedom that we have. God, we lift their families up to you today. God, we lift up to you our nation, our leaders. God, as they lead us, God, you tell us in the word of God, regardless of how we feel, that we are to pray for those that are in authority over us. And so, God, we lift them up to you, and we pray, God, that they would know you, they would trust you, and God, that they would listen to you. Help us be a country that is continually blessed by you. Help us respond by being obedient to you. God, we give you today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. When we think about these games, every move we make is to be on top, to accumulate more. Ultimately, everything about these games is about us, right? It's about us winning and being on top. But what we do see from Psalm 115 regarding how we should live is really how we should live and how we should live our lives. That's what we see from this passage. As Christians and followers of Jesus, as those who belong to God, let's see three things that should be lived out in our lives. But before we see those three things, there are a couple of interesting things to know about this psalm. This is an interesting psalm. This whole chapter was a song, right? When you think about psalms, man, these are songs of praise. It was often sung among God's people. And there's evidence for us to know, not just that it was a song, but even how they sang it. It was interesting when I was studying this psalm, the psalm was broken out into three different sections. And so certain parts were, you know, someone like Derek would be the leader. They would speak it or they would sing certain parts. And then they would have this choir that would sing other parts. And then the gathered people, God's people, would sing the rest of that. It was a song that was often sung during their Passover. It was a powerful song with powerful truths about who God is and really how we should respond to Him with our lives. Songs that are widely known and sang often again to remind them of who God is and how they should respond. And so looking at the psalm and seeing how we should live our life, the first takeaway this morning comes from the first eight verses. By the way, just so we can relate a little bit, this psalm right here would be How Great Thou Art to us. Anybody know that song? Right? Just like a timeless song, right? Or maybe the newer one of How Great Is Our God. And if you're talented enough, you sing both of them together. Anybody ever done that, right? So this is that psalm for them. It's just a powerful psalm. So look at verse 1 with me. It begins by saying this: "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory." The opening so many words of this psalm goes in opposition, obviously, to these games and the objective of these games. But most importantly, it opposes how we often live our lives. Church, if we're honest, we often live for how can we get the credit? How can we get the attention? How can we get the praise? How can we get the glory for what we've done? How can we gain from this situation? But notice the repetition. They say, "Not to us, Lord, not to us." Church, we need all the reminders we can get because we have a tendency to magnify ourselves. And when we do that, the reality is, it might seem harmless, but the reality is when we do that, we steal attention from God and His throne. But this psalm calls for only one to get the attention and the credit and the praise. And so our first takeaway this morning is this. On the back of your notes, you've got them online as well, but on the back of your bulletin, your first note is this: as Jesus followers, we should live our lives to praise and worship our God. To praise and worship our God, not to us, but to your name, Lord. You alone deserve the glory. You alone deserve the praise. You alone deserve our worship. And the psalm even tells us why. It says, but to your name, speaking to God, give glory because of your faithful love, because of your truth. They could look back and see the promises that God has made to them and how he has remained faithful to his word, to his promises, even when they didn't deserve it. You know, we've had moments as parents where you say, hey, kids, you're going to get this, right? We're going to do this. We're going to get some ice cream. We're going to have some popsicles. But then they may do things where you have to take that away from them. Are you with me, parents? Maybe I'm the only one that takes things away, okay? But we do, and we're okay with it, right? But even when God's people didn't deserve it, he was faithful. They could look back and see evidence that God loved them even when they didn't deserve it. They could look at what God has said and how everything that God has said remains true. You know, we live in a culture where truth changes all the time, doesn't it? It depends on who's in office or what public opinion says, but God remains true through it all. Church, in our lives, we can look for us. That's what they did for us. We can look at who God is and who he will always be. We can look at what he says and see that no matter what, his word will always remain true. We can look at what he has done and what he has done for us and how he has demonstrated his faithful love for us when we least deserved it. Think about this, church. I know we don't like to, but here's the reality. There was nothing in you and me that deserved anything from God. Well, hold on, Pastor. This is 4th of July. I'm an American. Like, I deserve some stuff. There was nothing in you and me that deserved anything from our God. But he showed his love for us anyways while we sinned against him and rebelled against him. Think about this, church. He created us to be with him, for us to follow him, right? For him to be Lord. And we rejected him. We walked away from him. We chose us over him. And we still do it, right? He showed his love for us. The Bible says, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But his truth, his faithfulness, and his love remained the same no matter what. And so their response to who he is and what he did, and our response the same, is to give him and his name the glory. Their response was to praise God, to worship him, and not themselves. They sang praises of him and to him, and they worshiped him. You know, the Bible, when we think about worship, a lot of times we think about singing. Derek did a breakout at camp a couple weeks ago where he talked about what worship really is. And one of the things is we just think, hey, worship is our gather time at church, right? Or it's when we crank up K-Love or David Crowder or something in the car and really jam out and worship Jesus. And that's a response that is part of worship. But worship biblically means that they were offering themselves fully to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul urges us as Christians, because of who God is, because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his love toward you, we're to worship him. Meaning we are to offer ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice. Here's what that means. It means that we offer our whole life and not just Sundays to God. Amen? It means that we offer our whole life and not just Sundays, but offer our whole life to God and to live our lives for him because he alone deserves it. Their response and our response to God every day is to remove ourselves and our agendas and our pride from the throne in our hearts. But here's the reality. Sometimes people say, but what about me? God will take care of you. Because of his love for you, because of his faithfulness, we don't have to worry about that. Our response every day is to remove ourselves, our agendas, our pride from the thrones in our heart and praise and worship the one true God because it's he alone that deserves that spot in our lives. The next few verses are great. They continue to sing about how awesome our God is. So I'm going to read this one and give you some a little bit of context. Verse 2 says this, why should the nations say, where is their God? You're like, Pastor, what does that have to do with giving praise and worship to God? So I'm going to give you a little bit of context to understand this in the following verses. But here's what's happening. The enemies of Israel, the enemies of God's people would often taunt them, right? They would try to embarrass God's people. They would try to call them out and say, hey, where is your God now, Charles? I'm just picking on you today, man. You're just right there, man. Where is your God now? Where is he? Where is your all-powerful, almighty, all-loving God? It reminds me of being in high school, right? Or, right, you're going to a high school game, a college game, or, Charles, I got to pick you on this one, man, because gone to Chiefs game, and I got some Raiders fans right next to me, man. They needed Jesus, so I think that's why God placed me right there. I'm a Chiefs fan, so, but are you with me, guys? But there's taunting back and forth, isn't there? They're like, man, where's your team now? Where's your quarterback now? Man, I got distracted. I don't even know where I'm at. There's yelling back and forth. They're taunting each other. They're calling each other out. They're trying to put each other down. And that's what Israel's enemies were doing to God's people. They're taunting them. They're calling them out. And that was one thing they would say is, where is your God? And so God's people, they're responding to that in this psalm. They're saying, they can say it all they want, but we know where our God is. We know who he is. We know what he's done. Listen to verse 3. So they say, you know, where's your God now? They say, our God is in heaven and he does whatever he pleases. They're saying our God is alive. He is active. He is in our lives. He is in charge. He is ruling as king even over you. And then they kind of say back to them, where are your gods? Here's how they say it, verse 4. So our God is in heaven, he does whatever he pleases, but your idols are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak. They have eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear. Noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel. Feet but cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throats. Listen to what they're saying, church. They're saying our God is in charge. Our God, he speaks and he speaks to us. He sees us. He knows us. He knows what's going on. He is in control. He hears our prayers. He has power in his hands. He can go where he chooses and he walks with us. They're also saying this, it is our God that made your hands as you made those false idols with your hands. In other words, it is God alone that deserves the praise and glory for our worship. And church, time out, because before we point fingers at other people for making false gods and idols, do we not often do the same thing? We might be a little advanced so we don't have something sitting on our podium or table or whatever it may be, but we have things in our lives that we pursue, that we are devoted to, that we want, that we live for in place of God. It could be fame, it could be money, it could be power, it could be sex, it could be sports. Anything that takes his place becomes an idol and a false god in our life. And we need to guard against that. And this is a reminder that as Jesus followers, we're to live to praise and worship God. And below that, he is the one who is above all. I feel like we have a song for that today. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. It's not necessarily a taunting, because let's just be real, there's no one to taunt. But it's speaking truth of who God is. By the grace of God, let us live to praise and worship the only one who deserves it, the one who is above all, and let our aim to be to place us and every other thing in its proper place below God. Jessica and I, a few years ago, we decided, because we had a lot of things going on in our lives. We planted a church, right? We got kids going on. We got fostering. We got all these other things going on. And we had to say, God, what do we do? And so we were just looked at it and we just said, man, we need to have priorities in our life. And we had those, but we just made them concrete. It for me, church, it's Jesus, Jessica, my kids, and everything else. Right? And there's priorities. Like the church needs to be a top priority, right? Relationships need to be a top priority, but we have to have that. And that's basically what we see, is that we need to praise and worship God who is above all else. All right, we're going to move a little quicker on these last two. Derek's back there. He's not really, but he's probably wanting me to speed up a little bit. But we live to praise and worship. No, you're good? All right, he says we can go for an hour. We're good. All right, so we live to praise and worship our God. The next is this. In our lives, church, here's the other reality. We can praise and worship God because we should also live to trust in our God. When we look at all of the animals and the bugs and the creatures and the trees and everything around, God sustains all of those things, and he loves us more, we can trust in our God. We should live our lives trusting in God. That should be our aim, our objective in our life. We're really good at trusting us, but where did that get us? We're really good at trusting other people, maybe the most trustworthy people we know, but still, we fall short. That should be our aim. Look at verse 9. He kind of goes through this list. Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and strength. This psalm is reminding them, because of who God is, because he is alive and powerful, and above all, because of his truth and faithfulness, you can and must live your life trusting in God. And in verses 10 through 11, the psalm goes through and he's just calling out different groups, Israel and Jacob and so on and so forth. Here's the thing. When you face an enemy, trust in the Lord. When you walk through the valley, church, trust in the Lord. When your life is up, trust in the Lord. When your life is down, trust in the Lord. When you have all you need, trust in the Lord. When your bank account is empty and when you are in great need, trust in the Lord, church. All people trust in the Lord in every situation. That is how we should live our lives. Look back at verse 9. Trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. As we live, we can trust in the Lord, church, who protects and provides. He protects and provides. Every night, I get an opportunity to pray over the kiddos in our home, our children, whether they're children or foster children, and we pray constantly, God, we love you. You are God. Would you keep us safe and provide for us? I want them to hear me pray that over them. And what's really neat is when they start praying that too, in their own words. Church, he is our help. We hear from other psalms, we know that he is our very present help in time of trouble. He provides when we are in need. He's the shield who protects us. This psalm just contrasted, when we look at that, the psalm contrasted the one true God with false idols. Guys, we often place our trust in things of this world, things that cannot see, hear, walk, or talk, or things that will let us down, things that care nothing about us. We often place our trust in us. But we see here from Psalm 115 that we can and we must trust in him. Look what happens when we do. Verse 12, the Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel, the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. Don't miss 13, church. This is so good. He will bless those who fear the Lord, meaning those who revere and respect and trust and follow the Lord, right? He will bless those. And that's what he says. He says small and great alike. Isn't that good news, church, right? It doesn't matter how big or small we are, how smart or dumb we are, how popular or unknown we are. If we trust in Jesus, in God, he will bless us, he will protect us, and he will provide for us. It may not be in the way that we want, but that's where we place our trust in him, who is above all. We can trust in him. That's to be our aim in this life. When we live a life that trusts in Jesus, we live a blessed life, church. There's a lot of things going on in our life, a lot of questions that we have, and we're like, God, I don't know why you said this, but you said it, so I'm going to trust you. God, I know that I'm feeling this way or that way, but God, you said this, so I'm going to trust you. Are you with me, church? Man, it's just, God, I know that I don't have, but you say to trust you, so I'm going to trust you. And the Bible says that he will be blessed. Let's be clear, just because I just said that. There's a false teaching out there that says if you give a dollar, God's going to give you three back or something like that. That's not true. We don't find that in the gospel. God will bless us, but maybe not in the way that we want. Are you with me, church? That's called a prosperity gospel. It's not a true gospel. Let's just say it. Let's just own it, okay? And then that leads to our last. As Christians, we don't live for us to receive glory. We don't live to pursue the things of this world. We live to praise and worship our God. We live to trust in our God. And third, this kind of wraps up all of them in one. We live to give glory to our God alone. Look at verse 16. Oh, this is so good, church. The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the human race. It's not the dead who praise the Lord, nor any of those descending in the silence of death, but we will bless the Lord both now and forever. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. Nehemiah 9:6 says this, God, you alone are the Lord. You're in charge. You sit on the throne, right? You made the heavens, the heaven of heavens with all of their host. the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in it. You give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before you. John 1:3, talking about Jesus, which is God the Son, God in the flesh, God with us. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Woo! That's our God, church, right? Like when we wrestle and we struggle and we're like, God, I can't do this. He's like, I know. It's good. I got you, right? I kind of feel like he says it like that. Like he has to, I got you. I don't know why I said that, but it's not even my notes. When we are tempted to steal God's glory or fame or attention, when we are tempted to take away from Jesus, we should be reminded that all we have is his. I know, Pastor, but I earned this. You earned it because he allowed you to earn it. I know, Pastor, but I'm super smart. You're super smart because he blessed you with the ability to be smart. I know, Pastor, but I worked hard for this. I trained hard. I did all this. You did it because God gave it to you. All that we have, everything we have, was given to us by him. He alone is Lord. And one day, the Bible says, every knee will bow down and confess that he is Lord, and they will not confess that we are Lord. Amen? We're not real good at it. We tried. Jesus came to fix that. And so to him alone we give glory. Notice what it says in verse 17. We're going to wrap up with this. It isn't the dead who praise the Lord, but we will bless the Lord both now and forever. As we close, church, let us be reminded, each and every one of us, because of our sin, we were dead. Not dirty, not smelly, not just a little off, not mostly good. We were dead, spiritually and physically dead, separated from God. But when he calls us to follow him, when we turn to him, when we call on Jesus to save us, we are made alive by Christ. We're made alive by Christ, right? He's the one that made all that happen, right? He's the one that did that. We are given eternal life. We are no longer separated from God. We are brought back into a relationship with him, not just as like Christian club members, but as sons and daughters of God. You are fully adopted into the family of God. We are forgiven. We're given a new life. We have no reason to glorify us. We have every reason to glorify him and him alone, church. That'll preach right there, amen. So as we leave here today, let our chief aim, our main objective be not to beat out others, not to gain all our possessions or fame or money and all the glory we can. Let us live to praise and worship, to trust in and give all the glory to God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, church? All right, let's pray.